Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to wish you a happy Mother's Day. We have some amazing ladies in our church that take care of us, and so thankful that God has brought you to this place. Thanks for being a part of worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship, and the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you wouldn't mind taking that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask. Last person, once you're done, please send it back to where it got started. And first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so very much. A few reminders, we are having children's time, so invite the kids to come down for just a few moments for children's time after that first hymn. Also, want to say a big thank you. Our exam pack run was a big success this past week. Had a great time seeing many of our college students, gave away all the exam packs. They were very thankful for those exam packs. It didn't matter who was bringing it to them. They were just thankful for the exam pack. It wasn't just my smiling face, was it, Tyler? No. What is that? No. Terrible. Give me your exam pack back. All right. But do want to say thank you to everyone who was able to help us provide for that and pray for us as we were traveling. A couple of reminders. PMBA Association Senior Adult Lunch is this Thursday. Deadline is tomorrow at noon. If you're interested in going, give Krista a call for that PMBA Association Senior Adult Lunch this Thursday. Also, senior adults are invited to Arbor Acres. It is a free lunch and concert. If you wish to go, contact Ken Hatchett or Krista, and the deadline for that is May the 20th. College Park also has decided to participate in a book drive for Old Town School. We're partnering with area churches to provide a book for every student. College Park is collecting books for first graders. So we're looking to get 110 books for first graders, either new or gently loved books. And we're trying to get those collected by May the 31st. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. And make sure you make note of those items. We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. You've given us your information on the pew pad a moment ago. Thank you for that. If you are a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand right where you are, and then the ushers are going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, also a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so very much. Last week, as I was doing my welcome to worship and my announcements, I made the comment about the Mayflower and Columbus riding on the Mayflower. Now, there's a few options here. I only heard from Ron Caldwell that Columbus didn't ride the Mayflower. It was Noah, okay? It was Noah that didn't ride the Mayflower. So it was either you didn't want to embarrass me on that poor associate pastor. He has no ability. He doesn't know any better. And you just felt sorry for me. That was an option. Is that the option? Should I just stop there? Okay, we're going to stop there. Oh, there's such motherly love on Mother's Day. But isn't that what moms do? They love us when we get the right answer or the wrong answer. They love us when we're dirty or when we're clean. Moms just love. They can't help it. And on this Mother's Day, it reminds me that the reason a mother loves is because God first loved us. The The way a mother knows to love is because God's imprint on her heart tells her to love. And a child's actions, a child's misdeeds, doesn't change that love. So this day, as we are challenged to remember all the ladies in our life who take care of us, love us, we are thankful to God who gives us that example of love on the cross. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, we are thankful to come into your presence this day, to be reminded of the beauty of your creation, both in the sunshine and the blue sky, but mostly the creation of the people in this room. Thank you for this church and the opportunity we have to come to worship you, as we join millions of people around the world celebrating all that you have done. And as we come into your presence, we need to be near you. And we ask that you speak to us clearly, that we may hear and be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Every deep is angry.
Good morning. Good to see everybody. Everybody okay? Yes. Matthew, yeah, he's not here today. He wasn't feeling real well, but, oh. Hey, Jared. All right, we have a very special thing that we do every Mother's Day. Because we don't ever want all the ladies in our church to forget how much we love them or to ever doubt. But I have a question. How did this flower get to be so tall? Does anybody know? How did this flower, what do you think, Shane?
It growed.
Yeah, that's right. It growed. How does it grow? Okay. Right. Seeds in the ground, and you put it in good dirt, right? What else? Yeah, God put together all this stuff, and the sun, and the rain, and the soil, and the seed is what God put all together to make this grow. Now, did it go for something this little to this? How did it go from something this little all the way up to this big? How did they do that?
It growed.
But let me ask it this way. How did you get to be so big? You grew. There's a lesson here. Stop asking the same question. All right. It's amazing because the power that's in the seed, in the soil, in the water, in the sun can make something so beautiful like this.
It growed.
That's right. The same thing is true for you. You used to be little. And you growed, right? But how did you grow? You're never going to stop growing, right? Probably in right now. I will never say the word growed again. So how do you grow? Do you get food? Who gives you your food? Who gives you something to drink? Moms, that's exactly right. Moms help us to grow. They take care of us, just like a gardener takes care of flowers to make sure they grow the right way. So they grow up and to be something beautiful, just like you are to your mom. So today, I want you to remember to be thankful to your mom because she has helped you. She has helped you from the time you were a little baby, and she will forever and ever love you and want you to know how much she cares about you. So everybody is going to get a flower today. Not just, I want you to give this after the service to your mom, and you give her the biggest hug ever and say, thanks for helping me grow. All right? Make sure you do that. Not only all the moms, but we also have grandmas. We have aunts. We have ladies who are Sunday school teachers, our prayer partners. We have people who here at church help us to grow, help us to become exactly who God wanted us to be. And we're giving this to all the ladies, not just the moms, to say thank you. Can you help me do that today? Give big hugs to your mom and say thank you. All right, let's pray together. God, thank you so much that you have given us the ladies in our lives, our moms, our grandmas, our aunts, our Sunday school teachers, our prayer partners, our teachers at school, all the ladies who are in our lives that have helped us grow from something small to something beautiful. And we know that's what you do for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. Go back to your seats now.
And all of us have growed, and we are glad that God keeps us growing. And one way that we grow is through His holy word. So would you join me, Psalm 97. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bible or in the pew Bible that you find there where you're sitting. Psalm 97. Listen to these powerful words from our God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous, and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for those beautiful, beautiful words. Would you join me in prayer together? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of worship. But we can be together to celebrate our relationship with you and with each other, and our relationship with all of those ladies who have helped us in any way and prayed for us and nurtured us through the years. We thank you for every prayer that's been offered by them and others on our behalf, those prayers that have helped shape us and mold us and keep us from danger, those prayers that have gone before us like a bright light to lead the way. Thank you that those prayers remain before you forever, and you never forget a one. Thank you so much for the power of prayers that come from those who love us. So today we thank you for everyone who's nurtured us, male and female, along the way in our lives, in our spiritual journey. Father, Mother's Day is a time of celebration, but sometimes it's a time of pain. So we lift up those who are hurting today, and we pray that you would minister with your powerful, gentle, loving, and merciful Holy Spirit to those who are hurting today. For we often have mixed feelings in the face of loss. So, Father, please, just work as only you can. And, Father, we thank you for your word, which reminds us of your power. The words we just read from Psalm 97 reminding us that there's nothing that's too hard for you. You own it all. You know everything. You know what's best for every person in this sanctuary. So, Father, we ask that you go before each one of us and our families and guide and comfort and strengthen. And, Father, just help us to remember that when all else fades away, our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important of all. In thy name we pray. Amen.
This month, we're taking up an offering for the North Carolina Baptist Hospital's Mother's Day offering. This offering helps patients to pay their hospital bills in their time of need. God's love is at work through us, giving hope and changing lives. Please use the blue envelopes provided in the pews or in your boxed envelopes to give as you feel led. Please join us Wednesday night, May the 18th, for Leland Kerr, who will bring us more information about this worthwhile offering. Now would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, as we gather this morning to give back to you a portion of what you have given to us, we pause to think of the wonderful women you have put in our lives, women of faith who have led us and guide us during our growing years and who continue to guide us every day, women who lead by example, women who in their quiet or not so quiet ways help us to get through the good times and the not so good times. We thank you, Lord, for these incredible women. Now please accept these gifts we bring to further your kingdom and to help us be your witnesses here on earth. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning to you. Those of you who know me very well know that I am way out of my comfort zone this morning. For a whole lot of reasons, I am way more comfortable singing a message than preaching one. However, I'm honored to have the opportunity to fill in for Raymond this morning as he and Sandra have gone to spend the day with Ashton, and they will spend Mother's Day today together. It's one of many difficult days on the calendar for them, as it is for others as well. And so I'd like to open up this morning in a word of prayer to lift them up specifically and others who may struggle a little bit today. Our Lord and our God, we come to you this morning knowing that you are the God who loves. Lord, you are a God who brings healing and comfort in times of difficulty. And Lord, we pray specifically that you would bring comfort this morning to Raymond and to Sandra and to Ashton. Lord, that they would feel your presence. Lord, that they would know your peace, even as they struggle today. Lord, for others who may be here this morning who have lost family members this year and for whom today is particularly difficult, Lord, I ask that same peace. Lord, let them know your presence. Let your spirit whisper words of healing and comfort to them. Lord, for those who maybe have longed for children and have not received that blessing, Lord, who long for the word mother, Lord, I ask that you would, Lord, speak healing into broken hearts and that you would bring comfort, that all the reminders this morning that remind of what is not there, Lord, instead would draw them close to you. And Lord, for those that are here this morning who are dealing with broken relationships in their lives, Lord, we know that you are the healer of broken relationships. And so, Lord, even as you speak your comfort and your peace, Lord, I ask that you would begin to plant seeds of forgiveness. Lord, that you would open hearts that were once closed to one another, and that your healing would reign. Lord, be with me as I speak this morning. Lord, help me to get out of the way. Let your spirit say what needs to be said this morning. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Our sermon passage this morning actually comes from today's lectionary reading. It would have us read John chapter 17, 20 through 26, but we're going to back it up a little bit and go to verse 9. So we start in John 17, 9. And it says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you. I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. Now, you may have heard those verses and said, what in the world does that have to do with Mother's Day? And the answer is it doesn't. Lectionary readings follow the church calendar and not the secular calendar. And Mother's Day is a relatively new holiday, even on the secular calendar, and a much newer than most of church history. However, if you'll indulge me this morning, I'm going to try to engage both. We entered our scripture passage this morning midway through a prayer that Jesus is praying. Jesus' time is near its end. He knows that he is headed to the cross. In a very short while, he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be arrested. And knowing that his time is short, he begins to pray. And as he prays in this vulnerable time, we're given a glimpse into what the desires of his heart are. So as we enter into the passage, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's pouring out his heart to the Father on behalf of those he's leaving behind. Verse 9 says, I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. So his prayer is for those who have been entrusted to him by the Father. As we look into the passage today, I want you to consider that most of us have someone in our lives to whom the Father has entrusted us, or who the Father has entrusted to us, rather. For some of us, that might be our children or our spouse. It might be an extended family member. It might be an in-law, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, someone who has opened up their life to us. And I want us to consider this morning how we can pray for those that God has entrusted to us, just as Jesus prayed for those who were entrusted to him. And knowing that Jesus is one with the Father, we know that his prayer is in line with the will of the Father. And I believe that knowing his will for those he loved can help us to pray for others within God's will. So as Jesus prays for the disciples, he prays first for their protection. Verses 11 and 12 say, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. So while on earth, Jesus had protected his disciples. However, he knew he was going away, and he was not going to be physically present to protect them at all from this point forward. So Jesus prays for their protection, and he asks the Father to keep them in his absence. He places them under the divine protection of the Father. And he can do so with confidence because as much as he loves his disciples, God loves his disciples. But the protection that he's asking for here is not specifically physical protection. It's a protection that God would keep them safe from the evils of the world, from the things that would distract them from the message that he had brought to them, temptation and sin and other things that would draw them away from the Father. It was his protection that was going to allow them to be one with one another. All those other things get in the way. As we pray for the ones that God has entrusted to us, we can pray that God would protect them from the evils of the world. Knowing that God loves them so much more than we are even remotely capable of loving them. We can pray that they remain in the truths that have been taught to them about Jesus Christ. As he continues in his prayer, he says he's praying so that the disciples might know joy. This one's kind of near and dear to my heart. We're called to be a joyful people. I say the Amplified Bible says, verse 13, translates it as, I pray now that my joy may be full and complete and perfect in them, that they may have my gladness in them filling their hearts. Jesus' desire is not that his people be miserable, but that they know his joy. This isn't the first time that Jesus has said this. If you go back a few chapters, y'all know the verse, John 10:10. He says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and life to the fullest." Some translations say life abundantly. Jesus continues on here with that same thought. In verses 14 and 15, he says, "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world." In the midst of a world where they would be persecuted and hated for walking in truth, Jesus still wants them to have joy. Joy is not resulting from an easy life or success or any of those things that sometimes we think are going to make us happy. It's the joy instead that comes from the Spirit, turning mourning into dancing and offering gladness in the midst of chaos and even persecution. As we pray for those entrusted to us, we can ask that God will bring them joy, that he will uphold them when life's circumstances bring them down. We can pray that God gives them fullness of life through his Spirit. In spite of the fact that the disciples are not of the world, Jesus asked the Father to keep them in the world. In verse 15, he says, "My prayer is not that you'd take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Their protection is not going to be accomplished by removing them from danger, by removing them from the world. Instead, Jesus asks that they be protected from evil even as they remain in the world. Not only that, he prays not only that they may be kept from evil, but that they be made good. He prays that they be sanctified. He asks God to sanctify them. Now, the word sanctify is related to the word holy. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus has referred to God as Holy Father. It's the only place in Scripture those two words are together. Now he's asking the one who is holy to make his people holy. To sanctify means to set apart or to consecrate. It was used to refer to the preparations of entering the presence of God. And it's also used for the commissioning of a divine task or calling. Jesus is asking God to sanctify his disciples for the work that's going to be given to them. He is leaving, but he is leaving his mission to them. He's getting ready to send them into the world. Just as the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus is going to send his disciples to carry on the gospel message. As we pray for those entrusted to us, we pray that God sanctify them to his purpose, that he prepares them for the calling that he's placed upon them. Now, for some of you, this may have just gotten a little bit difficult. Maybe the person that you've been praying for doesn't have a relationship with God. So how do you pray they be sanctified to his calling if they don't even know him yet? First, I want to reassure you that praying for their salvation is praying within the will of God. It is God's will that they come to know him. It's his desire to know them and for them to know him. Verse 19 says, "For I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified." Jesus is preparing to fulfill that calling that God has placed on him by going to the cross so that all who are willing might be sanctified and brought to the Father. He's doing the work, and he continues the work by sending his Spirit so the Spirit can draw people to repentance. There's also that verse a little bit later on, in verse 24, where Jesus says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am." He's going to the Father, and he wants those that have been entrusted to him to be able to go to the Father with him. He's looking forward. We too can pray looking forward to that day when those entrusted to us can come to know and be in relationship with the Father. I was a little bit struck this week, too, when I read verse 19. I read it in another little translation there, and that translation said, "I give myself to you entirely so that they might entirely be yours." Christ gave himself unto death. I have to confess that there are times when I have prayed for my children and I have prayed for others that they might be fully God's. And it struck me this week that sometimes I've prayed that for others and I've been guilty of not giving myself entirely to him. So as we pray for others, we have to be careful to be sure that we are giving ourselves to God as well. That we're not limited by our priorities and our sinfulness and our pride. We've got to live out those same words that we're praying. As Jesus continues his prayer, he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world might believe you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you love me." Up until now, Jesus has been praying specifically for the disciples. But all of a sudden he says, "All this I've prayed not just for them, but for everyone who believes." All he has prayed, he's praying for our benefit as well. But his prayer now is for us to be one. He desires unity for us with each other that mirrors his relationship with the Father. He prays for unity to the only one who can bring unity. The source of our unity will be the unity of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And the result of that unity is that others will come to know Christ. The world will know that God sent Jesus. And I love this. They are loved just as he loves Christ. We are loved just as the Father loves his Son. John Pelch says, "The proper response to this gift of life and unity from Father and Son is mutual love among members of the community. Outsiders will be amazed and moved by what they see." Of course, that means our love for each other must be visible outside these walls, and our love for each other has to reach outside of these walls. It means the words that we speak and the lives that we live have to be rooted in love. I have often wondered in reading these verses, how many people have not known because we could not be one, because we have allowed other things to get in the way of our oneness. If it means loving each other and being at one to reach outside these walls, what do we need to do in our lives? As we pray for those that God has entrusted to us, we can pray that we and they might be in right relationship with others. That may mean we need to pray for forgiving hearts, even our own. It may mean that we need to pray for the ability to love when things and people become difficult. It means we need to pray for unity that crosses divisions that arise out of our own hearts and love those who have formerly seemed unlovable or unworthy. Now, I have to confess, for years, I have read this passage of Scripture incorrectly. For years, I've kind of placed the setting in the wrong place. Knowing that in the following chapter, Jesus is arrested, for years I have said, well, this is what Jesus prayed in the garden. But it's not. It is part of his last message to the disciples. He's actually praying this prayer at the Last Supper. As he shares his last instructions with them, he begins to pray aloud. Now, this may seem a little bit strange to us, but it's not uncommon for the time. And within Scripture, there are multiple farewell speeches given. You think of Moses before he handed, you know, before he passed away, and he kind of passes down and says, be who God's called you to be. Don't forget. There's a pattern, though. The speaker, knowing that he is fixing to leave this world, gathers around him those that he loves, those that he's close to, and he begins to give them a farewell speech that usually talks a little bit about the future, sometimes predicts the future. He exhorts them to behave in a particular way. This is what's coming, and this is what is required of you. And sometimes he closes with a prayer. This is the case with this passage. Jesus is giving his last instructions, and he prays. I had an interesting conversation a couple of weeks ago. I was talking with my grandmother, and we had been talking for quite a while, and the conversation had started to close multiple times, the number of times she, oh, I need to let you go, I need to let you go, and then she'd start talking again. And I'd kind of reached the point where I was semi-listening. I know that makes me a terrible, terrible person, but it was a work day, and I was running late for work, and I was talking to her, and I was trying to get ready, and so I was talking on my way to work, and then I was talking as I got into the office and carried all my stuff in, and I was at this point where, like I said, I was starting, my thoughts were drifting to what was coming later in the day, and then all of a sudden, something caught my ear. And I realized that the tone of the conversation had changed. And my grandmother began telling me all the things that she wished for my life. None of it had to do with success or riches or belongings. It all had to do with my walk with God. And she told me her wishes that I would know God's joy in the fullest and trust Him no matter what the circumstances. And she told me that I need to learn to praise even in the midst of the difficulties, that until I could do that, I did not know the fullness of the riches of God's grace. And it struck me that this was more than words. It was a prayer. She was praying over me. And suddenly all the rushing and all the to-do list and everything that had been on my mind just a moment before became completely insignificant. And it was a holy moment. I was hearing the desires of my grandmother's heart poured out to the Father. And she was entrusting all of her concerns and wishes for me to Him. And it was a beautiful moment. It's one I will not ever forget. I suspect that most of us don't get to share our deepest prayers with others, and that's okay. But we're called to pray. And we're called to pray for those that we love, and we're called to pray to be in unity so that others can come to know Christ as well. I challenge you to pray. And I challenge you that if you get that moment when you can share that prayer for the one your heart has poured out over, that you take that opportunity. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for the people that you have placed in our lives. Lord, we thank you for those who have prayed over us. And Lord, for those that you have called us to pray for. And we praise you this morning because we know that you hear our prayers. And that for all the love that we have for another, you love them even more. Lord, help us to love. And Lord, help us to hear your Spirit when you call us to pray. And Lord, never, never let us forget the gift that you gave to us in your Son. Help us to live lives that spread that gift to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're getting ready to sing an invitation hymn. And this is a moment for you to consider what God has said to you today. There may be those of you who are here who do not have that relationship. Maybe somebody's been praying for you that you would come to know Christ. If that's the case, now is the time to come. Maybe you've been visiting for a while and you've thought, oh, College Park is not a bad place. And I tell you, I'll be quite honest with you, as a minister, sometimes ministers complain about where they're at. I've had no complaints, and I've been here for a good long while now. It's a good place to be. maybe you didn't need that confession right now, but maybe you need to just come forward and pray at the altar and pour out your heart to God this morning. Now is the time to do that. Jeff is going to come forward, and he's going to stand up here. If you'd like to talk to him, that would be awesome. We would love to hear what God's doing for you this morning.
It's been a good day to be together. Thank you to Mary for the message, the challenge that she has given to us. Aren't we thankful that we have so many people that have been praying for us in our lives, that have taken opportunities to pour God's love into us? It's a day of thanksgiving for those who have done it before, and it's a challenge for us to continue doing it. I too am thankful for College Park, who is such a nurturing, loving place to be and takes Scripture so very seriously. Moms, grandmas, aunts, prayer partners, teachers, administrators, we thank God for you and how you have nurtured us. And we pray God's blessings on you as you go. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. For we have felt your Spirit here, and we have been reminded, as Jesus prayed for his disciples, we have been reminded how much you care for us. that even God Himself in the flesh prayed for us, that way we may come closer to You. As we leave this place today, we pray that we would do that, be closer to You, so that all that may see us may come closer to You as well. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.